Material wealth is not achieved by brute force. It is achieved by human intelligence. It is achieved by the thought and labor of free men. Men living in a free country. Men who are not enslaved and ordered by the state. America's material wealth is the physical symbol and result and product of the greatest spiritual, moral, heroic stature that mankind has ever seen in history. The stature of a country which for the first and only time in history had been built, at least in part, at least fundamentally, on the concept of man's inalienable right to exist, on the concept of respect for man's individual rights. American wealth, unmatched anywhere on earth, is the result of that philosophy. That is what Americans are and should be proud of. And they should ask themselves, isn't it about time to stop attacking America for her greatest virtue, her wealth and her productive power, to stop apologizing for America's achievement by comparing her to the starving hordes of mankind on all other continents, ruled by the philosophy of mysticism, altruism, and collectivism, which is now encroaching upon this country? Isn't it time to check our national premises and to take pride in the philosophy which made us great? Not according to Senator Kennedy. To continue quoting from his column, America cannot act as if no other nation existed, flaunting our power and wealth against the judgment and desires of neutrals and allies alike. We wonder if we still hold a decent respect to the opinions of mankind, or whether, like Athens of old, we will forfeit sympathy and support alike, and ultimately our own security, in the single-minded pursuit of our own goals and objectives. Close quote. I would like you to consider very literally and very carefully these particular words. The single-minded pursuit of our own goals and objectives. Whose goals and objectives are we supposed to pursue? This is an almost explicit declaration that America should become the slave serve an unpaid servant, the sacrificial animal to the needs of the rest of the world. By what right and for what reason? For the reason that the rest of the world is perishing of envy of American power, and therefore is entitled to our unrewarded self-sacrifice, to our help and our wealth, whereas we Americans are not entitled to any rights, nor to the product of our own effort, nor even to our lives. Why? Because we have achieved that which the whole world envies. And this is Senator Kennedy stating the essence, the philosophical base of his position. And these, McCarthy and Kennedy, are the two leaders who allegedly have attracted the allegiance of American youth, of college students in particular, as representatives of a new, brave revolutionary movement. How new is it? It is only the stale, old, worn-out bromides of altruism and collectivism. That line is not the voice of the so-called establishment. That line is much, much older. Its roots are as old as the anti-man, anti-mind, anti-reason tradition of self-sacrifice, mysticism, and tribal collectivism. Here are some of the contemporary voices proclaiming that tradition explicitly. Here are the roots of which the senators McCarthy and Kennedy are merely the branches, the small branches, and the consequences. I quote from the New York Times of December 26, 1967. Pope Paul wished the world true peace and true happiness in contrast to mere pleasure and dolce vita in his Christmas message to the city and the world today. Too often, the pontiff said, modern man confuses happiness with a frenzy of happiness, of intensity, of enjoyment, or of carefree living. Dolce Vita, the title of the famous Italian film in the Pope's Italian text. And with mere pleasure, satiety of earthly fulfillment, a hedonistic well-being. Close quote. In other words, a frenzy of happiness, of intensity, of enjoyment, of carefree living is evil. Man should not aim at earthly fulfillment, nor even at well-being. Man should not seek happiness on earth. He should sacrifice himself. Who then should enjoy the product of his earthly effort? Well, of course, those who have not achieved it. Should they rise and be able to achieve, they will no longer be entitled to any earthly fulfillment. We should all strive, struggle, sacrifice, and perish, but never enjoy our life on earth. This is a very ancient and very profound philosophical line. But how could one make man accept such a horror, and why have men accepted it for centuries? Here is one of the indications of the reason. I quote from the New York Times of September 30, 1967. The Pope spoke of immense danger caused by the irreligious orientation of the modern mentality. One error, the Pope said, is to believe that one can forget orthodoxy and select only those truths that appeal to individual conscience and intellect. Another, he said, is that it is possible to give the faith new ideological dimensions other than those outlined by genuine tradition. Faith is a mysterious gift which demands docility and responsiveness. Close quote. It is not difficult to see at what enemy this type of statement is directed. The enemy is man's mind, man's independent reason, man's individual conscience. Man should not exercise it, according to this school of thought. They should give in their intellectual freedom in order to practice faith, docility, and responsiveness. That line is not confined to the Catholic Church. A news story in the New York Times of October 7, 1967, reported the following. Quote, ministers warned that unless the churches offered biblically sanctioned supernatural experiences, people would increasingly turn to spiritualist practices or drugs such as LSD for a sense of relief from mundane existence. Young people today are simply craving for visions, the Reverend David Duplessis told the conference in the Statler Hilton Hotel, so they turn to LSD in order to get a trip out of the bondage to human limitations. They are participants in what is broadly termed the charismatic movement, which emphasizes supernatural manifestations such as praying in unknown tongues, unpremeditated prophecy, said to be utterance inspired by the Holy Spirit, and healing, all reputedly common in the ancient Christian church. Close quote. This is how modern, the modern movement is. One can quite agree with this last statement. The choice is between mystical, supernatural faith or LSD, except that it is truly not much of a choice. Both phenomena belong to the same side, to the rebellion against man's mind. This is what is offered to the youth of today as a new, modern, progressive, rebellious trend. If it is a rebellion, it is a rebellion against man and against man's mind. It is the blind alley, the dead end of altruism, collectivism, and mysticism in the modern world. The newspapers reported that college students celebrated the news of President Johnson's renunciation with cries of, "We are saved, we are saved." They meant, apparently, their hope for the end of the war in Vietnam and their salvation from the fate of sacrificial animals to the military draft. The pathetic and tragic element of their celebration is that they did not realize they were supporting and endorsing the very principles that had made Vietnam and the draft possible. The abolition of individual rights, the enslavement and immolation of the individual to the totalitarian state, the welfare state. Who then are to be the rebels and the standard bearers of the future? One does not rebel by being more royalist than the king or more altruist than today's establishment. An actual rebellion has to challenge basic premises. The rebels and the standard bearers of the future are those who have the courage to advocate reason, capitalism, and man's individual rights, and man's right to exist for his own sake. It is not too late. That battle and that rebellion are barely beginning. But that is what the world needs today and is waiting for. And if the world is to have a future, then it is the rebellion of man, of man's self-esteem, of man's reason, against the perishing altruist, collectivist, mystic axis that will give the world its future and its freedom.